Let's first revisit an old tune.
Only you, 浪伴我去西西。
Yes, and that is the tune.
The tune that will bring back a lot of memories because of this film、
yes.
of Steve Chow called 大话西游 and
I'm singing Only You?
Yes.
Well,
that's a remake of the song.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's a hilarious remake. And,
okay. I wasn't、yes. sure if that was...genuine rendition.
No, I think all the Chinese who are listening right now, apart from those born maybe in the 1990s, maybe everyone would have listened to this song and this version of the song. So, the iconic comedy series A Chinese Odyssey or 大话西游 will reopen in Chinese theaters next Friday. It's the representative work of Hong Kong actor-director Stephen Chow and was very popular on the mainland about a decade ago. 周星驰的旧作大话西游将于本月的24日重新登陆全国各大影大话西游以其天马行空的剧情架构荒诞不经的人物塑造还有创造性的经典台词成为无厘头经典影片的开山之作又一次机会摆在大家面前你会去电影院贡献票房吗 So let's try and predict Is it going to be a box office miracle or a disaster?
I think it's going to be a big hitBut I don't think it's going to, you know, be the most successful movie. But still, I would not be surprised if a lot of people are flooding into the movies, theaters to watch it. Because when you look at the demographics of those moviegoers these days, it's those people who grew up watching this film, who have the money, and want to have a date or have the time to go to the cinema and celebrate it. And since we never really had a chance to buy the ticket to go to the cinema and watch it originally, and now you've got the money and the chance, why not? And I was really surprised by all the sentimental messages on WeChat and Weibo talking about, oh, we owe this to Steve Chow and we're giving it back to him now.
Yeah, No, I think it's always interesting because it can actually be quite difficult to predict what is going to be a long-term cultural phenomenon, I would say. I'm just trying to, and for life of me, I can't remember the names of these movies now, but there are quite a few movies in the United States that when they were first released, there was not, a very strong box office response. There was not a very strong, necessarily critical response either. But then as time went by, more and more people, when it came out on DVD or VHS, if it was that long ago, more and more people started to watch it. And it in English, we call it a cult following. So it becomes like a cult classic. So like one of them is... Oh man, I can't remember any of these names. I feel so stupid. But there's one of them which honestly I hated it. Sorry, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mm. That's a perfect example. I hated the movie. I've always thought it was really stupid. But if you look at the number of people in the U.S. that go to like these Rocky Horror Picture Show events that watch it, as often as they can. Who are real movie buffs and they like Tim Curry, who's one of the main actors, you'll see that this is a real phenomenon inside of culture where, for whatever reason, maybe it was a marketing problem, maybe it was too early for its time, that kind of problem. There are a lot of cultural products that just do not hit their stride until years or perhaps even decades after they were actually produced. And I think that's really kind of what we see here. I mean, in 1995, when it was released in the mainland, it only got screened for like 2 days because no one wanted to go watch it because everyone thought it was just so bad. And honestly, it still is pretty bad from what I've seen. But at the same time, it's hard. It's hard to explain exactly what it is that draws people to things like it. But it's hard to argue that it has a very strong cultural force.
Yes, it is certainly one of those iconic films, and I think it's probably one of the only one that has received this kind of popularity and treatment, because initially it received a lukewarm response. But why is that? I don't think it's because it's bad, but it was new, and it was, postmodern, and this kind of comedy, which is essentially... This film is actually like a romance tragedy, but packaged in a comedy. And that was, that was just a new, refreshing for people, and people at first didn't get it until, I think it had a lot to do with the specific time when it was released, when in 1995, when it first came out, didn't really go that well. And then in 1998, 1999, when the Film Academy students started to get their hands on it and thought, wow, this is great stuff. And then there was this amazing word of mouth spread that went on from the school to other parts of society. And immediately back then, Internet was just getting popularity, and also pirated VCDs back then, I think, and getting that kind of spread to people was pretty rare. And I think this movie, it marks that time, that era, and, just those memories of people that carry it.
Well, also, I have to wonder, because, you have to remember that Journey to the West is, like one of the number one all-time classics in Chinese literature. And we've seen in animation, in TV shows, in movies, radio dramas, books, all sorts of things. This story done over and over and over and over again, usually in a very similar way, or at least, being pretty faithful to the original text. But what we see here with this movie is that it's, in some senses, completely unfaithful to the original text. It basically, it just takes it as an inspiration and then takes it in a completely different direction with this whole romantic relationship between the fairy and the Monkey King, but also making it into a real comedy. Usually Journey to the West is a bit more of an adventure story. Mm-hmm. So there might be some funny parts, but it's not necessarily a funny story. Whereas this one, it's meant to be funny. Like, the entire story is meant to be funny to a certain degree. And so I have to wonder if that's also kind of why it's gained so much attraction. So in a market where, there's lots of clones, lots of almost 100% replicas, you have something that, even though it's old, it's still very, very different from almost everything else out there right now.
Exactly. Yeah, and it seems to be in the interest of the distributors, producers, to redigitalize it a little bit. That doesn't cost that much money, but when you release it, more often than not, you'll get a pretty good box office response. And I think it's becoming one of those business strategies for movie companies that have...
In China.
To adopt it. But last year we saw Titanic back, and the 3D effect was terrible, but still people went to go see it.
Well, no, exactly. This is something that Hollywood, I think, has definitely pioneered. And so in China, this might be kind of a new thing for domestic production companies to do, but Hollywood's been doing it since I can remember, since I was like 10 years old or something. Especially like with Star Wars, right? Star Wars, oh my gosh, it was so annoying, because like when you're a kid, you love Star Wars, and then they come out with like the digital remaster version, like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna go watch it. And then they come out with like the digital remaster version 3D, and then, okay, I'm going to go watch it. That's amazing. But it's basically the same, maybe actually a little bit worse. And then they come out with, like, the digital remaster 3D with extra scenes. And they're like, okay, I got to go watch it. And it's actually kind of worse. And so I think that here in China, that this kind of thing is just getting started. But people do it because, as He Yang said, it doesn't cost all that much more money. I mean, the original production cost of this movie, for example, in $95 is going to be a lot more than any type of digitization or remastering now.
Yeah. And I think this is cashing in on people's feel of nostalgia, especially as our generation, the post-born after the 1980s generation, become older, earns a bit more money, and have a little bit more free time. I would not be surprised to see a whole wide array of different kind of products targeting to cash in on our nostalgia.
Yeah, and the thing is that we are willing to be cashed in. And Stephen says, I would definitely go to see this movie because I love Stephen Chow so much. He stands for a spirit that we should persist in the things we love. And even though it's been 20 years, I still love the movie.
Yeah, I just want just a quick comment because I watched a little bit before the show. And then before that, I had no idea what exactly this movie was. And I watched a little bit. And I was like, oh, no, I've seen this on TV. And I just have to say, whenever I've watched it, it's never made any sense.
Yeah.